our help and our expectation is in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth, which keepeth truth forever and never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace be unto you in peace from him which is and which was and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth. Amen.
Congregation, we will continue our worship service with the singing of Psalter 130, the stanzas 1, 2, and 3. All nations, clap your hands, let shouts of triumph ring, for mighty over all the lands, the Lord Most High is King. Psalter 130, the stanzas 1, 2, and 3. This evening you can find in the Epistle of Paul to the Hebrews chapter 8. He mentioned to you Hebrews chapter 8, but before we will do confession, of our undoubted Catholic Christian faith. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. We mention to you Hebrews chapter 8. Now, of the things which we have spoken, this is the sum. We have such an high priest who is set on the right hand of the throne of the majesty in the heavens, a minister of the sanctuary and of the true tabernacle which the Lord pitched and not man. For every high priest is ordained to offer gifts and sacrifices. Wherefore it is of necessity that this man have something somewhat also to offer. For if he were on earth, he should not be a priest, seeing that there are priests that offer gifts according to the law, who serve unto the example and shadow of heavenly things, as Moses was admonished of God when he was about to make the tabernacle. For, saith he, that thou makest all things according to the pattern showed to thee in the mount. But now hath he obtained a more excellent ministry, by how much also he is the mediator of a better covenant, which was established upon better promises. For if that first covenant had been faultless, then should no place have been sought for the second. For finding fault with them, he saith, Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day when I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt, because they continued not in my covenant, and I regarded them not, saith the Lord. For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their mind and write them in their hearts. And I will be to them a God, and they shall be to me a people. And they shall not teach every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, Know the Lord. For all shall know me, from the least to the greatest, for I will be merciful to their unrighteousness, and their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more. In that he saith, a new covenant, he hath made the first old. Now that which is decayeth and waxeth old is ready to vanish away. Thus far.
Congregation, let us ask the Lord for his presence and his blessing. Let us pray together. Almighty, merciful, and gracious Lord God of the heavens and of the earth, thou who hast created all things, upholds all things, and thee in whom we live and move and have our being. And Lord, thou hast given in this day, on thy day, on this beautiful day in thy creation, that we may gather in thy house for the second time, that again we may come into thy house to hear what thou hast to say unto us. And Lord, as we have gathered together in thy house, may we beg thee for thy presence. May we plead upon thy own promise that thou hast given. Thou hast said, where two or three are gathered together in my name, I will be in the midst. Lord, thou art that faithful, that covenant-keeping Almighty, Lord God of heaven and of earth. Oh, we beg thee, Lord, then that thou would gather with us and that thou would work, as we have read also in this chapter, putting thy law in the hearts and in the minds of sinners, taking away the hearts of stone and giving hearts of flesh, teachable hearts, hearts that hunger and thirst for thee, for the living God. Lord, it's thy work. Thou art the Almighty One. Thou hast that power to renew sinners, to give life to dead, spiritual dead sinners. Lord, we beg thee that tonight, that it may be the hour of thy sovereign good pleasure for many, that thou would pass them by and say, live, and that they may live. Lord, we beg thee, come then, for thy honor, for thy glory, and for the eternal welfare of sinners, unworthy sinners, rebellious sinners, enemies, who only desire that thou would not rule over them, but thou hast that power to conquer them, because we read in thy word, as thou hast said, thy people shall become willing in the day of thy power. Oh, may it be tonight then that sinners would be turned. Lord, turn them and they shall be turned. Draw them and they will run after thee. Lord, we beg thee. Lord, unto whom else can we go? Thou alone hast the words of eternal life. We beg thee then that thou would have mercy upon us and do above all that we can think and ask for the honor, for the glory of thy name, for the coming of thy kingdom. Thou hast sent thy Son to seek and to save lost sinners. And by nature, we are all lost. We need thy grace, Lord. And we all know it. We've been taught the truth that we are sinners, that we are lost, and that the Lord needs to save us. But, oh Lord, may these truths not only be historical facts in our minds, but that they may become the true experience in our hearts, in our souls. I am lost. I'm guilty. I stand guilty before a holy and just God. And I must keep his law, and I cannot. I transgress against his law. And that thou art that just one who has the right to demand perfection, but also payment. And that we have a great personal debt that we owe unto thee. And teach then, as thy people will learn, that they cannot keep the law in perfection, but that their flesh, that all those seeds of sin remain in them, and they sin against all thy commandments still, thought, word, and deed, and have nothing to pay, that all they have is sin. Oh, remember that poor people, thy dear people, those little lambs and the sheep. Care for them, feed them, Lord. Water their souls with thy grace and lead them unto green pastures. And also tonight, when we may consider those benefits of an ascended, risen and ascended, exalted Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, may poor and needy sinners not only hear it, but that by the power of the Holy Spirit they may taste of the wonders of thy grace. Lord, we beg thee then, help to preach. Without thee we can do nothing. Help to listen and give those blessings. And when thy word may go out with the outward call and the gospel may be proclaimed, oh, bring it into the hearts of poor and needy sinners, that there may be food and drink, that there may be a little crumb from the master's table. And Lord, help them to explain from thy word of those wonders, of those benefits that thou hast purchased while thou was upon this earth with keeping the law perfectly, but also with thy sacrifice, in whom thou art now ascended and praying and interceding and thanking, but also that thou art applying thy merits to the hearts of sinners. Oh, we beg thee that thou would teach us to pray, and that we may all become beggars before thee without rights, that we only have sin, and yet that we may be looking unto thee, from whom all our help cometh, not only for this life, but for our never-dying soul, for eternal life. Lord, thou knowest those poor beggars among us with a load of guilt, of sin. Thou knowest those poor needy ones who can never place themselves among that blessed people, but have such a longing that they may belong unto thy people. They don't trust anything in self, but they can trust thee. Thou art that faithful one. Wilt thou come and visit them and draw them to thyself and teach them of that only way of salvation that is outside of them, entirely in thee, in a triune God, that it is all through thy Son, that he has paid the price, that he has done everything, and therefore there is free grace, that we may come without money, without price, and that we may come and eat and drink. O Lord, wilt thou give them, by thy grace and by thy word, those blessings that no man can give us. We beg and ask thee, Lord, that thou would rend the heavens and come among us, that we may have a good hour in thy house, listening to thy words, listening to who thou art through thy Son, listening to who he is as that advocate at the right hand of the Father, interceding for his dear sheep, but also of those blessings that there is a place for thy people that thou art preparing, and that thou wilt come and deliver them from self, sin, the world, all the assaults of Satan, and take them home. And what a wonder thou givest unto them thy Holy Spirit to prepare them, to renew them, to strip them, to guide them. Oh, we beg thee, Lord, work then irresistibly, free and sovereignly among us, and gather also tonight sheep, thy dear sheep, that sinners may be made alive, come to repentance and true faith in thee. Lord, give much prayer. May we together storm thy throne of grace and beg thee for those blessings that thou alone can give us. Lord, we pray then, remember the whole congregation, those who are yet dead in sins and trespasses, give them life, Lord. But remember also thy dear people, poor and needy sinners. Lord, look upon them in mercy. Thou knowest those who are going astray, bring them back again. Those who are in trouble, in darkness, and in the past have received joy and there was light, but now it's all dark. O Lord, come again. Thou art that light. Help them, visit them, remember them in thy mercy. Lord, we pray for all thy servants over this whole world. Help each one. Help us, Lord, to preach. We're sons of men. We have nothing in self. We need thee to teach us, to lead us and to guide us, to open unto us the precious word of God, that we may instruct others. And when we are called to preach, Lord, we need thy Spirit, the unction. O Lord, so we beg thee, have mercy. And give also, Lord, that thou would send out, thrust out more servants to work in thy vineyard, in our denomination, throughout the world, and also among the Gentiles and the Jews, and on the mission field. Lord, thou knowest the great need, and thou hast taught us, instructed us to pray unto thee, that thou would thrust men out. Oh, we beg thee that men who know of thy grace may be called by thee, and that they may come forward, and that they may feel in their heart, woe is me if I preach not the gospel. And wilt thou open doors, and that thou would give us that we may rejoice in thy works, that thou would look upon us in mercy. Remember all elders, all deacons. Oh, give them grace, Lord, and that in all their insufficiencies and all their incapabilities, that they may see and know and learn to lean upon thee and to find everything in thee, that great office bearer in heaven. Lord, we pray that thou would remember thy covenant people, the Jewish nation. Oh, wilt thou fulfill also that promise unto them, take away the veil from their eyes, and that they may see that thy word that testifies of Jesus Christ, that he is the promised Messiah. Lord, work among them mightily, but also through all nations. Lord, bless thy word throughout the entire world, here in this congregation, in our families, in the neighborhoods, through this nation, but also throughout the world. Lord, remember then also Bolivia. Remember the Bolivians. Work among them. Help, Lord, those who bring thy word unto them. Give them also what they stand in need of, faithfulness to understand thy word, to speak the truth, death in Adam, and life in Christ. Help the office bearers there, the deacons, the elders, but also the church workers, all thy servants. Remember also Pastor Marco. Help him, Lord, that he may be used as an instrument in thy hand. And Lord, thou knowest also the call that has gone out again for a church worker, but also for a worker in Peru. O Lord, wilt thou provide? Lord, have mercy. Wilt thou call? Wilt thou instruct? And wilt thou conquer hearts, and that they may come forward, and that men may be sent out to work in thy vineyard, also in Bolivia. Lord, remember us as a nation. Bless thy word richly. Lord, tomorrow we have Thanksgiving Day, and we are thankless creatures by nature, but wilt thou give by thy Spirit that there may be a true thankfulness in the hearts of sinners unto thee, who bestows so many blessings upon us, not only for our bodies, but also for our souls. Lord, forgive our many sins, not only as a congregation, as families, as individuals, but also as a nation. Lord, there is so much blood that cries unto thee, of that bloodshed of abortion. Oh, bring us to repentance as a nation, and that we may respect life from the moment of conception until natural death. Lord, have mercy upon us. Bless thy word yet. Give a revival. Give that sin may become sin, and that thy law may be loved, and that it may be a light upon our pathway in the government, throughout this nation, in our church, in our families, but also in our own personal lives, that sin may be hated and righteousness loved. Lord, give the tender fear of the Lord in the hearts of sinners for thy name's sake and for their eternal welfare. And so, Lord, we lay all these needs before thee. Remember those who are mourning. Comfort them. Remember the sick and afflicted. Care for them. Remember those who have cares for the body, for the mind. Help them, Lord. And remember then us in thy abundant mercy. Lord, bless thy word. Help to preach. Help to listen. And give that thou would come among us and give those blessings that no man can give us, that we may go home humble to the dust and yet looking unto thee. Oh, give, Lord, that it may be a true worship service for thy name's sake. Lord, pass us not by. We only deserve wrath, but have mercy upon us because of thy dear Son. We beg in the forgiveness of all our many sins, for Jesus' sake alone. Amen. Go congregation, let us continue now with singing from Psalter 93, the first three stanzas. Be thou my helper in the strife. O Lord, my strong defender be. Thy mighty shield protect my life. Thy spear confront the enemy. And what follows of Psalter 92, the first three stanzas. And the collections for this evening is for the church and for the Benevolent Fund. May the Lord bless you and your gifts. Dear congregation, in the past several weeks, we have considered, I believe in Jesus Christ. We have considered his names, Lord Jesus Christ, and the only begotten Son of God. We considered that he was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. We also considered that he rose again. And last week, then, we also considered he ascended into heaven. So the ascension of the Lord Jesus Christ, that great high priest. And last week, we more focused on the historical fact that it was a real, visible, actual event. That the Lord Jesus Christ did ascend into heaven. And children, do you remember where he went? Where did he go? The Lord Jesus Christ ascended. He went into heaven. But where specifically do we read in the Word of God in which we considered, where did he go? He went into heaven, into the presence of God, his Father, and he was and is upon a throne. What type of a throne? What did we read in the Word of God? That it is a throne of grace. Was that a comfort for you? And then we also considered who he remained to be. The Son of Man, the Son of God. He's that compassionate high priest, the same yesterday, today, and forever. And we read now in Hebrews 8, verse 1. Now the things which we have spoken, this is the sum. We have such an high priest who is set on the right hand of the throne of the majesty in the heavens. So the Lord Jesus Christ, as we read in this first verse in Hebrews 8, ascended into heaven at the right hand of the Father. And we read further in Hebrews 9, verse 24. For Christ has not entered into the holy places made with hands, which are the figures of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. So he went into heaven for a people, for us. The high priest, that great high priest, the Lord Jesus Christ, went into heaven. And what is he doing in heaven for us, for his people, for his church? Does he continue to work in heaven? Yes, he continues to work from heaven. So what does he do in the presence of God on that throne of grace, in the presence of his Father, for us, for his people, for poor and needy sinners? Well, what the Bible teaches of the work of the Lord Jesus Christ, which is a blessing for his people, is summarized in the Heidelberg Catechism, Lord's Day 18, question and answer 49. So let's read that together on page 46 in the back of your Psalter. The Lord's Day 18, question and answer 49. Of what advantage to us is Christ's ascension into heaven? And now listen, three things. First, that he is our advocate in the presence of his Father in heaven. Secondly, that we have our flesh in heaven as a sure pledge that he, as the head, will also take up to himself us, his members. And then thirdly, that he sends us, his Spirit, as an earnest, by whose power we seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God, and not things on the earth. So the theme tonight is the benefits of Christ's ascension. And those who are born again, those who have repented of their sins and have true saving faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, that is who is referred to us, his beloved little lambs and sheep, and they receive benefits. They receive many benefits by his grace upon earth, but by him ascending into heaven, they receive great blessings. And so we heard of three blessings in the Heidelberg Catechism. Each one is a point for tonight. So the theme, the benefits of Christ's ascension. First, an advocate in heaven. Jesus Christ ascended to be an advocate in heaven. What is that? Why is that a great benefit? We will try to consider with the Lord's help. Second, a guarantee of a place in heaven. His people have a guarantee of a place in heaven because Christ ascended there. And where he is, he will bring his whole flock there. And then third, an internal dwelling of his spirit to prepare for heaven. So he sends them his spirit to not only renew them, but also to prepare them, to conform into his image, and to prepare them for heaven. And that they would also have a longing to be in heaven with him. And so the benefits of Christ's ascension, an advocate in heaven, a guarantee of a place in heaven, and an internal dwelling of a spirit to prepare for heaven. But before we come to our first thought, maybe you're ready. I've listened to the theme and the 3 points. And maybe you've backed off and said, well, tonight it's all for God's people. So I can just sit here, I can relax, it's not for me. Please listen. Listen to what you are missing. Listen to what yet is available by God's free and sovereign grace. May you become longing for those benefits for your own soul. Maybe you need to be very honest. And that's good. Maybe you say, I know the historical fact. I could even speak about many facts, also about this Lord's Day, but I'm lost. I'm dead in sins and trespasses. Well, my dear friend, I hope you can't rest there. I hope that isn't a comfortable place for you to be. But I hope you may hear of what is available in a triune God for absolute unworthy sinners by his free and sovereign grace. And maybe you are wondering, I heard of the advantage for his people. Can there be an advantage yet for me? Can there? Well, first I must say again, very clearly, that without true saving faith in Jesus Christ, there is no benefits for a sinner. They must be born again, they must repent, and they must have faith in Jesus Christ to receive these benefits. So I hope you hear what you miss and that you feel lost. What must I say to you? Sometimes I wonder, what must I say to those dead sinners who know it all and who can be so comfortable? Because that's really who we are, lost and comfortable. What did the Lord Jesus say to that multitude when he began to preach? And that's what I say to you, repent and believe the gospel. You must repent and you must have true saving faith. But secondly, Jesus Christ, in his humiliation, merited salvation. And he ascended into heaven, and he is sitting there at the right hand of God, and he is applying what he has merited in his humiliation. In his humiliation, he merited salvation. And remember, he said, it is finished. He finished that work on earth. He merited salvation for lost sinners. And he's in heaven now. He is applying what he has done. Children, simply said, the Lord Jesus was when he was earth. He bought salvation by his perfect life and by his death when he was upon earth. And now in heaven, he is making sinners participants of what he has merited. So what work is he still doing in heaven? He's still seeking and saving lost sinners. What work is he still doing? He's still gathering sheep. He's still gathering his flock, as we read in John 10, verse 16. And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold, and there shall be one shepherd. So did you hear it, what he's still doing? Lost sinner? You hear what he's doing? He's seeking and saving, and he's gathering. Now make that a matter of your prayer. The work that an exalted Savior is doing, make that a matter of your prayer and say, Lord, I'm lost. And I heard that thou art seeking and saving sinners. Seek and save me. Lord, thou art gathering sheep. By nature, I'm a goat. I'm lost. I'm an enemy. I'm a sinner. But I hear that thou hast that grace, that power to change goats into sheep. Lord, have mercy upon me. Make me one of thy sheep. And those who become his sheep by his free and sovereign grace, and who do repent of their sins and continue to repent and do believe. And yes, they have much unbelief, but they do believe in that Savior for complete salvation. They need him for everything, because he's the only way back to God. Receive benefits. What benefits? Well, we come to our first thought. The benefit of an advocate in heaven. Let's read the first part of the Heidelberg Catechism. Of what advantage to us is Christ's ascension into heaven? First, that he is our advocate in the presence of his Father in heaven. So Jesus Christ ascended into heaven, and he is an advocate at the right hand of the Father. He continues to work. What work does he continue to do? He's an advocate at the right hand of the Father. What is this benefit? What is this benefit for his people? What is an advocate? We read in 1 John 2 verse 1, my little children, these things write I unto you, that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. So the Heidelberg Catechism, those men that wrote this, studied the Word of God, and they saw in the Word of God a great benefit for poor needy sinners, for his dear sheep, that he ascended to be an advocate. And we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. What a glorious statement that the Word of God makes. What a benefit. Let's consider that for a while. What does this mean? What is he doing? What is an advocate? It's a lawyer. A lawyer is an advocate is a lawyer. It's one who comforts his client, who speaks on behalf of the one that he represents in court. They've been accused of something, and a lawyer works for the client, and he helps him, and he speaks on behalf of them. And now Jesus Christ is that advocate. He's that lawyer in heaven speaking on behalf of his dear sheep before his Father. We read in the text, an advocate with the Father. This describes what the Lord Jesus Christ, that ascended Savior, is doing for you, church, for you, poor needy sinner, for you, recipient of grace. He is an advocate, a lawyer at the right hand of the Father for you. What a thought. What a deep, precious thought. What a benefit. Jesus Christ is representing you, little lamb, sheep, you, recipients of grace. He stands before his Father, and he represents you. Is not this enough to pause and wonder? Is not this enough already a great benefit and a comfort that would fill our hearts with adoration, and praise, and wonder, and that we would have a true thanksgiving? A lawyer, a good lawyer, gets to know his client. He wants to know him so he can comfort him and help him, walk beside him and speak for them. He's committed to them. The lawyer will do everything on behalf of his client, on the client's favor, a good lawyer. And now Jesus Christ, he is that good, faithful, compassionate high priest. He's that faithful advocate at the right hand of the Father. And he knows you exactly, all your needs, poor, needy sinner. His sheep, his lambs, he knows you even better than you know yourself. He knows exactly all your needs, all your cares. He knows your whole heart, your whole life. And He is an advocate for you at the right hand of the Father. But this is where the comparison between an earthly lawyer and that heavenly advocate separates. Why? Because an earthly lawyer will do everything on behalf of his client to get him free from a sentence, even if it's a just sentence. He will do everything, even sometimes when they know that their client is completely guilty. They still confess not guilty. But the Lord Jesus Christ, He's that good, honest, perfect, infinitely good high priest, that compassionate high priest. And what does his sheep confess? What does he teach them to confess? Guilty. I'm guilty. And what does he, as that advocate at the right hand of the Father, confess? How does he present his sheep before his Father? Does he say, Father, they're all not guilty? No, they're guilty. So what's the comfort then? What's the comfort of Jesus Christ as that advocate at the right hand of the Father? He pleads on something else. He knows they're guilty. They have nothing to plead upon. Imagine, you poor needy sinner, that you had to stand at the right hand of the Father, that you had to stand before that holy, infinite judge. What would you plead upon? What could you plead upon that would move that heart of the infinite, holy Father, that His justice would be satisfied? Have you known? Do you know? You have nothing. I just have sin. But the Lord Jesus Christ, as that advocate at the right hand of the Father, pleads on something that's so secure that the Father will hear, that He will listen. What does He plead upon? What does He plead on? He pleads. May I say it this way? He presents before His Father His scars in His hands, in His feet, in His side, on His head. He presents His merits. He presents what He has done, what He has in His humiliation merited. May I say it this way with much reverence? Father, I have kept the law. They're lawbreakers. Yes, they're renewed and they long to keep the law, but they keep sinning. But I have kept the law for them. He represents them. He pleads upon His benefits. They're full of sin from head to toe, within and without. Is that you? And He doesn't plead upon anything of them. He pleads upon Himself. He pleads upon His righteousness. He pleads upon His payment. They have a great debt. Is that you? And you have nothing to pay. He pleads upon what He has paid. What has He paid? He paid with His life. He gave His body to be broken. He shed His blood. What a benefit that there is an advocate at the right hand of the Father that pleads. That pleads upon Himself, upon His merits, upon what He has done. And He's at the right hand of the Father. And I say it with reverence. Father, I've paid for that one. They're guilty. They have nothing. But I have paid. He's covered. She's covered. That boy, that girl, that teenager, that woman, that man, that poor needy sinner. He's covered with My righteousness. He's washed in My blood. I'm the ransom. I gave the ransom. And there's a ransom because of Him at the right of the Father. And they are delivered because of Him, because of His pleading. That interceding, thanking advocate, that good high priest at the right hand of the Father. What a benefit. What an unspeakable benefit in a lawyer when he's representing his client. He doesn't have his back to the judge. No, he faces the judge. The one that has the accusation, he looks toward him. He faces him. And Jesus Christ is that advocate. How do we read the text again? Let's read it again. My little children, these things write I unto you, that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. With is just a little word, but what great significance. With, He's the great high priest at the right hand of the Father, with the Father representing His church, His sheep, His lambs. By that Father, that infinite holy judge against whom they have sinned against, whom they have sinned against as law. And they are under the curse of the law by nature, by themselves, of who they are and remain to be. And God could justly condemn them to eternal wrath and death. But Jesus, that advocate, he's face to face with God, with the Father, that one whom you and I need to meet, of whom we are guilty, of breaking his law under the curse, and he could rightly condemn us to death. The Lord Jesus stands before him with the Father, representing his church, representing you, poor, needy, wretched recipient of grace. An advocate, he intercedes for his beloved sheep, for us. Oh, to belong to that people. Do you see it? That's the comfort. That's the comfort in life and in death. And outside of that flock, outside of that people, there is no comfort. The only comfort is belonging to that people. That he seeks you, he finds you, he renews you, he teaches you, and he brings you to repentance. He brings you to faith in himself, and that you belong to him, that flock, those sheep. But we do not read it this way. We have an advocate with God. No, we read in the text, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. What credentials? With the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, the perfect, that excellent high priest, the Lord Jesus Christ, him that stands at the right hand of the Father for his beloved people. That means that the Lord Jesus Christ, through him, that God is your Father. Sheep, lambs, people of God, he's your Father. Remember what he said to Mary, I ascend to my God and thy God. I go to my Father and thy Father. Through him, as an advocate, through all his works of humiliation, but also of his work of exaltation, God, that very God against whom you have sinned and still continue to sin, is your Father. What do we read in 1 John 3, verse 1? Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. No, not servants. Sons of God. Through all that complete, full work of Jesus Christ. Congregation, there's only one advocate. And you need this advocate. Jesus Christ is the only advocate. He is the mediator. As we read in 1 Timothy 2 verse 5, for there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. He is that blessed mediator and that blessed advocate at the right hand of the Father. And you, poor needy sinner, if he is your advocate, think of the benefit that you have, that he is interceding for you. And nothing can condemn you with him interceding as an advocate for you at the right hand of the Father. Listen to what we read in Romans 8, verse 34. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. And those of you who are yet dead in sins and trespasses, who have not truly repented of your sin, and who do not have true saving faith in Jesus Christ, think of what you are missing. I hope you hear it tonight, that you do not have an advocate at the right hand of the Father. What does that mean? That means that when you die, you need to stand on your own account before that holy judge. You must stand before him of whom you have sinned against. And how will you stand before him, whom we read in the Word of God is a consuming fire? You will only meet wrath. You are on your own account yet. Not one sin is forgiven. All your sins are yet on your own account. You are without God, without peace, without Christ, you're absolutely without and in want. I hope you feel it. Did you hear the blessing? And I know you hear it, but it doesn't even prick your heart. It doesn't even kindle any desire because you're just dead. And yet, I must bring it before all that you may hear it. And that by God, by the power of the Holy Spirit, there may be born in your heart a hunger and a thirst, that you become lost and guilty, that you become a beggar at his throne of grace, begging him, Son of David, have mercy on me. My friend, implore him. Implore him. Beg him. Don't let him go. If you really need something, you will seek it, right? If you really long for something, you will use much energy and much effort to find it. But I hope you hear your need, that you need him, and that you need him as the advocate before the right hand of the Father, and that it brings you on your knees as a beggar before him, not letting him go until he blesses you with those blessings that he alone can give you. Seek him. And children of God, you, what a benefit, what a blessing, at the right hand of the Father. Why did John write this? Let's read that text again. My little children, these things write I unto you, that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. And so, Church of God, as soon as you have one sinful thought, as soon as you have one sinful desire, as soon as you have one sin, immediately confess it. Bow your knees and beg him. Beg him to forgive you of your sin. Look up unto him. Look up unto that high priest at the right hand of the Father, that advocate, and need him to be that interceding high priest for you every moment of your life. And that you cannot live without him. And it is a great blessing to even think about what he has done in his life, what he has done on the cross, because that's the foundation of salvation. But what a blessing to learn to live not only by faith on these foundations, but also to learn to live looking up to him that ascended, that exalted, advocate at the right hand of the Father, because in him is complete redemption for complete lost sinners. We read in Ephesians 1 verse 7, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. Jesus Christ is that mediator of a better covenant, of a better sacrifice, of greater benefits, of a better hope. That's what we read time and again in Hebrews, because he is the fulfillment of all the Old Testament sacrifice, and he's the fulfillment of that high priest. He is the great high priest. And he gave a perfect sacrifice, once, complete, and for all. His life, his blood, his body, everything. And in him and through him, those covenant blessings flow to unworthy sinners. And one of those benefits we also read in this chapter, in Hebrews 8, verse 12. For I will be merciful to their unrighteousness, and their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more. Do you need the forgiveness of your sins? Is that what you're longing for? It's in him, that ascended high priest, that interceding and thanking high priest. And Church of God, little lambs, sheep, what a blessing, what a benefit, that there is an advocate, that thanking and interceding high priest continually for you, for his church. For wretches, open your Bible, please, to Psalm 103. And there we read of those blessings of how our hearts should be filled with adoration, Church of God, for him. Psalm 103, and we'll read the first four verses. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies. May we sing of that, and may it be with heart and mouth from Psalter 284, standing stanzas 1, 2, and 3. 284, the first three stanzas. O come, my soul, bless thou the Lord thy Maker, and all within me bless his holy name. Bless thou the Lord, forget not all his mercies, his pardoning grace and saving love proclaim. And what follows, 284, the first three stanzas.
Thank you.
benefits of Jesus Christ, the ascended Savior. We heard a little something of that great benefit of an advocate at the right hand of the Father. And now we will hear another benefit. But first, congregation, we are all traveling to a never-ending eternity. We're all going that way to eternity. And we are either on that broad way that leadeth to eternal hell and destruction, or by God's grace, we are on that narrow way that leadeth to eternal life. To eternal life. And by nature, we are born on that broad way, and we need to be brought on the narrow way, onto that way of true life. And God, by His free and sovereign grace, we read in the Word that He translates those from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of His dear Son. And He works in their hearts, and He renews them. And by His grace, they begin to truly repent, and they begin to truly believe. And they only, no citizen of that Broadway will ever enter heaven. They will only enter into eternal destruction. But they and they only, those blessed ones that were translated, that were no better than any other that were on that Broadway, but that were translated from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of His dear Son, they will inherit something so unspeakable that the Word of God says, no eye has seen, no ear hath heard. What will they inherit? They will inherit eternal life. And you, you who are still on that Broadway, the Lord still speaks and calls to you. What a wonder. For example, what we read in Isaiah 55 verse 7, let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and He will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for He will abundantly pardon. What a wonder. But those who have been translated, who were delivered from that Broadway, living dead in sins and trespasses, and would have continued on that Broadway until they died, but were translated, delivered, sought, redeemed, brought on that narrow way, they receive a blessing. That's the second blessing, a benefit that we read of the ascended Lord Jesus Christ. Because He ascended, He went into heaven. And because He arose and He ascended into heaven, it is a guarantee that they will also, all His dear people, all those sheep, all those little lambs, all those recipients of grace, all those who have been translated into the kingdom of His dear Son, they will also enter into heaven. That's the second blessing. Let's read again from the Heidelberg Catechism. Question and answer 49. Of what advantage to us is Christ's ascension into heaven? Secondly, that we have our flesh in heaven as a sure pledge that He as the head will also take up to Himself us, who? His members. Dear sheep, you who truly believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, who belong to that good shepherd, the ascension of the Lord Jesus Christ is a guarantee. It's not a question, a sure pledge. It's guaranteed that as He went into heaven, you will also be delivered from this world, from sin, from Satan, from flesh, and you will also enter into that place where He is. Remember the disciples? The Lord Jesus ascended, and they were watching Him going higher and higher. Then an angel came and spoke. What did He say? What do we read in Acts 1 verse 11? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as you have seen Him go into heaven. So they were told that He would return. What will He return to do? What will He return to do? What did He promise He would do? Open your Bible, please, to John 14. There we hear the promise of the Lord Jesus Christ, that ascended Savior, that he spoke upon this earth. John 14, verse 2 and 3. And he said, before he ascended, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. So what is the work that the ascended, exalted Lord Jesus Christ is doing? He's the advocate, interceding, thanking the high priest at the right hand for his sheep. But what else is he doing? He's preparing a place. He's preparing a place for them. What is he doing for you, poor child of God, sinner, wretched one? What is he doing? What's his purpose? What's he doing? He's preparing a place. Why? What did he say? That where I am, there ye may be also. Where is he? Let's think of that again. Where is he? He's in heaven. Where is he? He's in the presence of his Father. Where is he? He's on the throne of grace. And he's preparing a place. He's preparing a place in heaven. He's preparing a place in the presence of his Father for you. And because he went there, it's a sure guarantee that all his beloved ones will also be brought there where he is. He is that forerunner, as we read in Hebrews 6, verse 20. Whither the forerunner is for us entered, even Jesus, made a high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. He's the forerunner. What is a forerunner? He's one who goes before to prepare a place. Remember, John the Baptist came? He was the forerunner for the Lord Jesus Christ, preparing a place, preparing hearts for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. But the Lord Jesus Christ is that forerunner. He went into heaven. That first, he went there to prepare a place. He went there. And it's a guarantee that his beloved church all will be brought there. He's that forerunner. And then I think of immigrants. Some of them came from the Netherlands. And some sent first a family member to go and look, to prepare a place. And later the family came. But how infinitely different is this? What an infinitely greater blessing, incomparable. The Lord Jesus Christ came. He paid, he fulfilled the law, he ascended, he's the advocate, and he's preparing a place. And because he's preparing a place, he will come again. And he will bring all his beloved people home. He's preparing a place for you, child of God. Yes, he is. And because he is there preparing a place for you, you will be received into the presence of God the Father. What a benefit. Or is this not a benefit for you? Maybe you listen, you say, what's the benefit? But there's a people. They long to be brought back into relationship with God. They don't just want to be in heaven because they want to escape hell. No, they want to be brought back into the very presence, into the favor with God. That's heaven for them. Because if the Almighty God isn't there, and if the Lord Jesus Christ isn't there, it's not heaven. But their hope and their expectation and their longing, if it's well, they need to pull up those tent pegs out of this earth and looking forward. He ascended into heaven, and that is a sure pledge that you will also be brought there someday. The ascension of the Lord Jesus Christ is his homecoming. It was a joy for his Father to receive him home. It was a joy for the angels. I'm certain they sang, as we can read in the Psalms. But it's also a homecoming. It speaks of a future homecoming, a guarantee that you will be received home into heaven, and you may already anticipate. Yes, you may also anticipate. What? To be able to be brought home. Home, in that place that he went, as a sure pledge that you will also be brought there as the forerunner, preparing a place for you to receive home. Remember that prodigal son? He came to his father's house. And how did that father receive him? Did he say, no, you cannot come in? Stop. No. How did he receive him? He ran to meet him. And he embraced him. And he kissed him. He accepted him as a son. And so, through the work of the Lord Jesus Christ, through all his merits, and it is secure that they will be received home into heaven eternally to be with him and his presence. And Church of God, so often we look inside. How is my feelings? How is my love? How is my life? How is my prayer? How is my devotion? And what do we find? Any hope? That's not hope, because our love is imperfect. Everything is polluted. What's the guarantee? What's the hope? Because when we know ourselves and we see our flesh, so often we tremble. Will I ever come to that place to be with God eternally? That would be such a wonder. And it becomes a greater wonder and a greater wonder. What's the guarantee? Nothing in self, but all in Him. In Him, that covenant, faithful, keeping Jehovah. And those covenant blessings, those benefits are sealed with the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And because of him, that better, greater high priest, of better promises, of a better hope, that gave a better sacrifice. No, he didn't give a lamb. He gave himself. And his blood, it's sealed. They shall be brought home, and he will not rest until all whom he will gather from the beginning of the earth unto the end of the earth. All his flock, all his sheep, all his lambs will be brought home. The guarantee isn't anything in us, but it's in him. It's in him, in the triune God, in the love of the Father. Let's read Romans 8, verse 37 through 39. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors. Why? Through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from what? From the love of God. From the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. What a benefit. It's all because of that love. That eternal love. That eternal love. That love of the Father. And love gave his Son. That eternal love of the Son who came to fulfill all the demands. That eternal love of the Holy Spirit that also comes and dwells in them. Our third benefit. How? How will they ever be prepared? Those whom the Father has chosen, whom he set as object of his love, how will they ever be prepared to enter into heaven? How will they ever have a longing? How will they ever have a desire to leave this world? How will they ever desire to live holy in thankfulness unto him? How will his sheep ever have communion with him, that great shepherd who ascended into heaven? Who's at the right hand of the Father? How? That's in the third benefit. Let's read the Heidelberg Catechism again. Of what advantage to us is Christ's ascension into heaven? Thirdly, that he sends us his Spirit as an earnest, by whose power we seek the things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God, and not things on the earth. He ascended. And what did he promise he would do before he ascended? He all promised he would prepare a place. But something else we read in John 14, verse 16. And I will pray the Father, and he will give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. So the third benefit, the Lord Jesus Christ is going to send another comforter. Why does he say another comforter? Why? Because that word comforter is the same word as we read in 1 John 2 verse 1, advocate. And so there's two advocates. The church of God, those sheep, those little lambs, they're so blessed. They have an advocate at the right hand of the Father, and they have an advocate that dwells in their hearts. They have a comforter at the right hand of the Father, and they have a comforter that dwells in them. Do you see that only comfort in life and in death is not to belong to yourself anymore, but to belong to Him? What a blessed people. What a benefit that He sends His Holy Spirit to dwell in them. To dwell in them. And the Lord Jesus Christ said in John 16, verse 7, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send Him unto you." And He did send the Comforter. The Holy Spirit was poured out. But He's worked with His Holy Spirit from the very beginning. He sends His Holy Spirit to renew sinners, dead sinners, to give them life. And He works in them that they will repent, that they will believe by the grace received by that work of the Holy Spirit. And so you see, congregation, we need the Lamb and we need the Spirit. And God provided both. He provided His Son who is now an advocate at the right hand of the Father. And He provided also that Spirit that He sent out. So you see, there's complete salvation for complete lost sinners. What benefits, what blessings. Without it, we're lost. But with it, salvation is secure. No, not in us. What a painful lesson. But what a beautiful lesson when you come to that place to see it. It's all in Him. I need Him. And then to learn to live by Him, dependent upon Him, that praying, interceding high priest at the right hand of the Father, and needing the Spirit. But that Spirit, the Lord Jesus Christ as an advocate, He prays at the right hand of the Father. He prays and He seeks the best for His sheep. And by the Spirit, His sheep are upon the earth, and they begin to pray and to long and to seek the best. What's the best? That's the Lord Jesus Christ. So you see the advocate praying in heaven for them, and the advocate, the comforter in them, and so they pray what He prays for them. You see the beauty, you see the unity. You see the unity. He prays and intercedes for them at the right hand of the Father for their eternal life. And the Holy Spirit works in them, teaching them that they're only worthy of eternal death, but that they seek eternal life in another. He pleads upon His merits at the right hand of the Father, and the Holy Spirit teaches them that there is no merit in them, and they begin to pray and seek everything in His merits. You see the beauty? See, salvation isn't in man. It's the infinite wisdom and the goodness and the grace of God. Such full and complete salvation in God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. What a blessing. An advocate. You need an advocate, my friend. You need an advocate at the right hand of God. And there is an advocate. Jesus Christ the righteous. And you need to be delivered from that broad way into that narrow way. Translated. And there's a benefit of what? A guarantee. What? That you'll be delivered from this world of sin. You'll be delivered from ever from all the assaults of Satan and flesh. And there's a guarantee you will enter into heaven, into His presence. Forever to be with Him. Ever and forever to be in His presence. No more doubting, no more sin, no more hiding His face, but being in His favor forever. And the Lord sends His Spirit to dwell in them, to prepare them for that day. What salvation? What benefits? Seek it, congregation. Seek it in Him. And John wrote these things. Why? John was a witness. He was a witness of the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. He was a witness also of His ascension, a witness of all these benefits that the Lord Jesus taught him and that opened his understanding by the Spirit to know them. And he wrote about them. Why? so that you would seek life in that only Savior, but more, also you, recipients of grace. What do we read in 1 John 1, verse 4? And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. Do you see it? He prepares complete salvation, and he has a desire that his people live in the joy in themselves. No, there is no joy in us, in ourselves. But the joy is in him. He wrote it. He wants you to hear it. And he desires that by the word and by the spirit, the application, that you live in this joy and longing, waiting. Yes, we are to be an Advent people. Soon we will begin Advent of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. But there's also should be an Advent people today. What is that people? Who are they? Longing for the second coming. For the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. That he would come and take them home. How are you living, my friend? You? Dead in sins and trespasses? You hear such great benefits and blessings that is available by free and sovereign grace. Beg him for those gifts that he alone can give you. And Church of God, what benefits? An advocate, a guarantee, and he even does more. He sends his Holy Spirit into you so that he can guide you, teach you, lead you day by day. And there's a comforter at the right hand of the Father and a comforter in them. And so salvation is secure in God. Amen. Almighty, eternal Lord God of the heavens and of the earth, Lord, we beg thee that thou would be the after preacher. Lord, we have heard many things again from thy precious word that is in thee, in a triune God, for complete lost wretches. Oh, we beg thee, Lord, blessed. May there have been also a blessing tonight. May sinners be convicted that historically may know some of these truths but are lost. May they become lost. They become beggars at thy throne of grace, crying out, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. But may it also have been a little comfort, instruction for thy dear people, that we may meditate upon it in this week. Be with us also after this service, when we may gather together to sing. Lord, give a heart that is touched by thee, that we may truly sing, not only with our mouth and our minds, but with our heart, and that we may truly sing in adoration for thee, that triune God, in whom there is complete salvation. Lord, work among us. Stir up and draw. Thou art so worthy to be adored and to be worshipped. Lord, may we acknowledge thee for this day, for thy word, and for thy help. Without thee we can do nothing. Lord, we beg thee then, keep us through this night. Bring us again into thy house tomorrow on a day for thanksgiving. Oh, we beg thee, prepare our hearts that we may enter, and that it may be a true thanksgiving unto thee for thy name. For Jesus' sake alone, amen. Let us close now with singing from Psalter 69, stanzas 1, 2, 6, and 7. The first two and the last two. Be thou my judge, O righteous Lord, try thou my inmost heart. I walk with steadfast trust in thee, nor from thy ways depart. 69, 1 and 2, 6 and 7. congregation receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God the Father and the comforting communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen.